So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, a couple of verses from there, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we pray now that you'll open our hearts and minds, that we will hear your word, and that we'll really begin to live into that, that we will lay down our burdens and allow you to help us with what we face in life. Oh God, come and speak to us this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Several years ago, Staples, the supply, office supply chain store, ran an ad campaign using an easy button. It would say, just push the easy button and everything will be okay. The opening scene in one of those commercials had a young boy in middle school who was sitting in algebra class, and the equation that the teacher wrote on the board stretched all the way across the board. He was extremely lost, and of course she called his name. And he reaches under his desk to press the easy button to try to come up with the answer. Another scene has a dad trying to change the diapers of two twin toddlers, and they're running around the house, and every time he captures one, the other one gets away. And he reaches up and presses the easy button to try to make that all better. The next scene shows an operating room with the doctor putting on operating gloves, and he's putting on all of his sterile scrubs, and he tells them exactly what he's getting ready to do, and they go, but doctor, you've never done that before. And he said, oh, it'll be fine. I'll just push this easy button and everything will be okay. The next screen says, wouldn't it be nice if there was an easy button for life? Life is complicated, isn't it? Life can oftentimes be overwhelming. And we really wish we had that easy button to push and make it all better. And it's in the midst of a season like we're in right now that Jesus says, come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's something we need in our society, isn't it? We need rest. We are overworked, we're stressed, and we need to find rest. We are all tired and carrying those heavy burdens. If we're honest with ourselves, we will know that the last 2.5 years have simply been hard. We have faced things that we never thought we would have to face. We've been through things that we never thought we would have to go through in this country and in this world. We've been afraid. We've been stressed out for our children and schools. We've been worried about our own jobs and how we're going to get our jobs done. And then we all had to learn new ways of doing our jobs. I never thought I'd be a TV preacher, and now we are every week because we're online all the time. We've worried about our families, and we've always worried about contracting this thing that we couldn't even see. And it made many of us really sick. We come today carrying a lot of heavy burdens. And I know this morning, especially, you come carrying a heavy burden for your pastor and his family. These last few weeks, it couldn't have been easy for Stephen and Nikki as they were leading up to this big surgery that he had last Wednesday. There's a lot of unknown. But we also come here celebrating today that the surgery was successful, and now we begin to pray for his recovery. We pray that there's no other treatments that will be needed. And we pray and celebrate today. I think Stephen's words on the caring bridge were really important and insightful the other day. He said, grace and peace did prove stronger. And that's our hope. Well, life hasn't always been easy for us either. This has been a challenging year for the Brack family. If you haven't heard what's going on with Laura, it's been a hard year. Some of you may not know because we didn't broadcast all this on social media. But back last November, Laura had a routine mammogram. And after that mammogram, they called her and said, you need to come back. We need to do some 3D imaging. We found something that's a little bit concerning. And so we went back, and she had the 3D imagery done, and we didn't really think a lot about it. She'd had cysts before, and we're like, that's all it is. They'll find out it's just the same stuff you've always dealt with. And they said, there's something that's still concerning. We found a spot on both sides we're worried about. We want you to do a biopsy. And so the biopsy happened the first week of February. And then a couple of days later, they called us and said, well, it's not a cyst. It is stage 0 DCIS breast cancer. And she had it on both sides. Of course, we immediately said, well, what do we do now? Laura began to tell me what the doctors had told her over the phone, and I said, I don't know what any of that means. I'm calling the expert. And it was lucky that we had an expert in our congregation at Calvary. We have a breast cancer doctor. And so I immediately called her, and she picked up on the second ring, and I'm like, thank you for picking up your phone. And I told her what we had, what we had discovered, and she said, well, if that's what it is, there's some things you'll have to go through, but she'll be okay. They gave us a lot of hope, a lot of comfort in that moment. But after we learned all the possible treatment options, she decided she'd have a double lumpectomy, and that's what she had the very day after Easter on April the 18th. And so we got there very, very early in the morning. I was very tired from Easter and worrying about her. And we went through that initial surgery. A couple of weeks later, we went back to the doctor and said, well, what'd you find? She said, well, we found we did not get clear margins on either side. And that means that you're looking at another surgery. At that point, Laura had about 3 weeks left in school. And she said, well, can I wait 3 weeks? She said, do I have to have that now and miss the very end of school? Or can I just put it off until school's out and I have the summer to recover from all this? And the doctor said, no, that's fine. She said, probably with scheduling the way it is, you couldn't get in the next 3 weeks anyway. And so we began to look at that, and it was scheduled for June the 8th. About a week and a half later, we found out the doctor still didn't get clear margins on one side. She said, well, technically the cancer's gone, but I don't have the margin that I would like. She said, there are three things that you can do. You can go back and have a third lumpectomy. Then you could also have the double mastectomy, or you can just simply proceed with radiation treatments. And that's the point where we really had a long weekend of praying and thinking, trying to figure out what we were going to do. There were all these things on the table, and we really didn't know what to do next. But after further review with the doctors, our surgeon told us, he said, look, I found this before, I'll find it again. She said, if you go on with the radiation, I think you're going to do great. She said, and if it ever comes back, I'll find it. So that's exactly what we decided to do. We would stay on course, continue on with the radiation treatments. And so the month of July, Laura spent at the radiation oncologist one time a day. She had 20 treatments, so one time a day for 5 days a week for the whole month of July. And now she's going to be on some medicine for the next few years to make sure that the cancer doesn't come back, or at least reduce the risk of it not coming back. She'll have to go for more scans at the first of the year. But you know, through all of it, we still felt extremely blessed. We knew there were treatment options, and there were good options. And we also felt really blessed because we knew our surgeon personally, and she was able to walk through all the things with us. When Stephen called me and told me about his diagnosis and asked me to come preach today, he said something that I fully understand after going through what we've gone through with Laura. He said, you know, I got the best, worst news possible. And that's what we felt like the whole time, every time we go to the doctor's office. It's the best, worst news you can get. And through this process, we found out nothing is easy. Getting well takes multiple appointments. It takes a lot of treatments and consultations, and it is a very long process. And this was simply for stage zero DCIS breast cancer. You know, anyone who's walked the journey of faith would assume that following the path of Jesus is easy. This beloved passage that we're given today might seem like a promise that releases us from our burdens and makes everything okay. Hear those words once again. Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But Jesus' invitation is not a promise of easy roads. This passage is not the theological equivalent of an easy button. Traveling the road of Christian faith is a journey that includes many challenges and obstacles. But the good thing and the promise that we have is that we never have to go through those challenges alone. That is where the opportunity and hope of Christ comes in. You see, no matter what burden we face, we don't face it alone. Jesus promises to be our companion and guide. Jesus goes with us and shares the burden that we are carrying. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest." Now, you know, Laura and I are from Kentucky, and growing up in Kentucky, I had great-grandparents that owned farms. And I've heard stories from my grandfather talking about trying to put a yoke on two mules and hitching them to a plow and plowing fields. And that yoke is important because it helps the animals share the work. It also keeps them working in the same direction. Otherwise, mules are really stubborn and they might go in completely opposite directions and you'd have no control over them whatsoever. Without the yoke, they would compete against each other. This passage reminds us, Jesus comes to share the yoke with us, to share our burdens and make them lighter. Jesus says, "Come and be part of my work, and I will make it easier and better for you." And then when our stress level lightens, well, we're able to relax. We're able to find rest. And rest is something that we desperately need in our lives. But Stephen left me this little note that said, you know, sometimes we're too busy, we're too arrogant, or we're too proud to take it. And that's true. I found that true in my own life. I think early on in my ministry, I bought into the idea of American productivity. I thought if I was awake, I needed to be productive. If I wasn't at work, I was attending some nonprofit board meeting, I was coaching the boys in sports, I was visiting church members or planning the next event. I always had to be busy every moment of every day. Now, Laura will tell you that that probably hadn't changed a whole lot for the better, but maybe a little bit. I'm trying to get better at that. I have allowed Monday to continue to be my Sabbath day, and that is a day when I rest and do a few less things. And at least I've learned how to slow down with her on vacation. So at least there are seasons that I'm working on. I'm trying to get better at this in my life, so I'm not there yet either. But we all need rest. We all need rest because it renews us and restores us, and it gives us life. The first 10 days of August, Laura and I got to go to the beach, and we spent 10 days there, and that's all we did. We got up late. We went to the beach for 4 or 5 hours. We read books. We got to eat a lot of seafood. We watched the sunset every night, and it was really relaxing, and we got a lot of rest. That's what she needed after the summer that she'd been through, and it's what I needed too. The time was life-giving. Rest is supposed to be a natural part of our lives. Way back in the book of Exodus, you remember that when Moses brought down those commandments from the mountain, there was one that said, "Take a Sabbath, take your rest. For 6 days, work, but for the seventh day, take a day of rest." I know many people in our contemporary culture ask, well, how am I supposed to rest for a day when I can't get it all done in 7 days? How am I supposed to get it all done in six? That just doesn't work. I can't do it. Well, keeping rest and making a Sabbath, it takes intentionality on our part. It takes making it a priority, or it'll never be part of our lives. But what I found is when we actually do take time to rest, it prepares us for the other 6 days. It gives us the energy we need to solve problems a little faster. It helps us be ready for the tasks that are coming in our life. A day set aside for worship teaches us that we can carry worship into our work throughout the rest of the week. To give ourselves a day's break from emotional and intellectual problems also enables us to come back with a fresh perspective, Sometimes we find creative insights and renewed spirits when we just give it a rest and set it aside for a day. Karen Burton Mayen says in her book, Making Sunday Special, that the Sabbath should be the high point of the week. She said, we should spend 3 days getting ready for the Sabbath, and then we should spend 3 days remembering the Sabbath. In this kind of thinking, the Sabbath becomes the center of all we do. It places rest and worship of God as a primary focus of life. It's not an afterthought. It's not something we do if we get everything else done. She says it ought to be the center of all we do. Sabbath becomes a highlight of the week because it is a day to worship and rest and be with God. And when we do that, we find Jesus. And we find a place where we can rest and find our peace and our salvation that we all need. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a great invitation. A great invitation because Jesus promises to come and share the difficult journey of life with us. Jesus invites us to come and share the yoke so that we can make our burdens lighter, so that we can make everything easier for us. Today we come carrying heavy burdens. We wish there was an easy button that we could simply push and make things go away. But that's not how life works. But today, in this passage, we are reminded we have something much better than an easy button. We have Jesus, who is our peace and our Savior. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest and the person we should put our trust in. Today, as we come forward for communion, as we prepare our hearts today, this can be a time when we bring those burdens and release them at the altar. We lay them down at the feet of God and say, God, take this because I'm tired of carrying it. I need your help. May the grace of God and the love of Christ form us and shape us as we now come to this table. Amen.